Last week in the US, it was a story of inflation, whilst it's coming down, is starting to get pretty sticky. And we had the CPI came out, and the February CPI was up around expectations, but that lifted the annual rate of inflation to 3.2% from 3.1%. The actual monthly rate was plus 0.4%. And of course, if you get too many 0.3s, 0.4s, you're annualising well above the most recent 3.2%. So this is a real problem, because it means that inflation, if anything, is going to have a few months where it's going to be lifting again. It's not going down any further, and it's getting further away from the Fed's target. The core inflation rate showed that as well. It was expected to be 0.3% for the core inflation rate. It was up 0.4%. And so that one only came down a little from 3.9% to 3.8%, so still quite high. We had it reinforced during the week too with the producer price index coming out. This is the pipeline, and particularly the headline producer price index was double what the market expected. The market was looking for 0.3% month-on-month increase. We got 0.6. And as a result of that, the annual producer price index inflation rate went up from 1% year on year to 1.6%. Now, of course, if you're going to be getting sort of 0.3s, 0.4s, 0.5s, 0.6s for these sorts of numbers, we're going to be accelerating a long way from that over the course of the next few months. So, again, that pressure point. The only way you can get comfortable with that is if you've got clear signs that the US economy is really slowing down, and it's going to put a real clamp, both with aggregate demand slowing and potentially through a weaker labour market, which will start to sort of pull this inflation pressure back in again. It's just not there. The numbers we got last week, we had, for example, retail sales for the most recent month. They missed expectation, but they were still pretty firm, up 0.6% for the month of February, with core retail sales up 0.3%. And relating to the labour market, initial jobless claims are still tracking really low. So they were expected to be 218,000 for the most recent week. They came in at 209,000. So we're tracking in this very low 200,000 territory, which implies that you've got some really strong non-farm payrolls growth coming through over the course of the next few months. So these are the pressure points which are just starting to show there in the US. And we'll hear what the Fed thinks about that this week. This is a week when a lot of central banks are meeting. So it's not just our own and the Fed, but a few others as well. But obviously the focus is going to be clearly on the Fed when it has its two-day meeting coming up Wednesday and Thursday. It's a big meeting where they revise their economic projections and what they think the dot points are for interest rate outlook going ahead. And if anything, those interest rate dot points for the outlook may even be lifted a little bit. That doesn't mean that rates are going to rise in the US, but it means they are not going to come down as much as previously expected. And that's the tenor we expect from the FOMC meeting when it meets on Wednesday. And we get the results on Thursday morning our time. We expect is that they're going to hold the funds rate at 5.50%, and will give an indication that they still a little way before they can consider any interest rate cut. In fact, there's a possibility they might be even more hawkish than that when we see that coming through. And you can sense that in the market last week. The market was starting to get a bit sensitive to that, and you can see the impact that was starting to have running through financial markets. We get data next week, but that's all going to get lost around the FOMC meeting. So we get a lot of housing data, things like housing permits and housing starts. If anything, housing's picking up, and so we'd expect to see February housing permits, housing starts. They come out on Tuesday before the Fed meeting. Both of those are expected to be up, housing permits by about 0.7%, and housing starts up about 6.7%, so quite a bit of strength running through those. We also get existing home sales and the National Association of Home Builders Index coming out. NAHB, the Housing Builders Index, comes out later tonight. It's been lifting over the last month or two, and this is one of the truly extraordinary things in the US at the moment. You don't often see a housing cycle go through its base and start to recover without interest rates coming down. But that's what's happening in the US at the moment. With these interest rates set where they are, we're actually in the first stages of housing recovery in the US. And this is obviously very problematic as far as the Fed's concerned as well, because it looks, if anything, you know, we're moving into a growth cycle. The market's coped with these interest rate hikes and is starting to bounce. So, you know, again, that sort of clouds the interest rate outlook to some degree. Moving across to China, and last week, it's still an economy which has a lot of problems in its property sector. We saw that in February house prices. House prices deteriorated further. They were down 0.7% year on year, going back to January. That neatly doubled to minus 1.4% lower in the month of February. Yeah, that's still a big issue. It's got a lot of excess supply running through property in China, and it means that, you know, there's not a lot of hope. You can't really prime that sector. There's no point building more of that stuff because it's already in chronic oversupply. That's the way you'd normally work. You know, if you're going to sort of try and get some expansionary policies going, you know, build things. Well, China's already built too much stuff, and so that's one of the risks. The inflation readings out of China, producer prices still falling there. So we had the peak producer price index for the month of February. That was down 2.7% year on year, after being down 2.5% year on year. So if anything, it's getting sort of worse there. Temporarily, with some of the commodity prices lifting, we've got the CPI, which has bounced out of deflation. The February CPI, month on month, was up 1%. And as a result of that, the annual rate of change in inflation in China jumped from minus 0.8% to plus 0.7%. If anything, that's a function of, you know, the supply side shortages in certain key areas feeding into China and on some of the commodity prices, and so some pressure points just sort of building there into the inflation rate. Moving to China this week, we get fixed asset investment spending numbers coming out today. We also get industrial production and retail sales. And all of those, yeah, not much change. In the case of fixed asset investment spending, it's a fairly softish 3% year-on-year going back to January. It might lift a little to 3.2. But industrial production, if anything, is coming down, and that's expected to come back from 6.8% year-on-year going back to January to 5%, probably for the month of February. Retail sales are expected to come down too, from 7.4% year-on-year to 5.2%. So this struggle for China to really get their economy moving. We also get the People's Bank of China. This is one of many central banks who will be meeting this week. And by rights, you know, they should be lowering rates further, but they won't. They look as if they're getting to a point where they're just going to stick for the time being. Currently, their official rate's at 3.95%. We don't expect to see any change on that. Moving to Australia, not a lot of data came out last week. It was mostly sentiment surveys. Businesses, their business conditions are still relatively good here. We had the February NAB Business Sentiment Survey that reflects their current conditions. It actually improved from plus 7 to plus 10. And business confidence, that came back a touch from plus 1 to 0. So basically businesses are saying, well, we've done very well, but we don't expect it to last. And so that's the sort of message which is coming through from those business surveys. Then we move into this week the RBA. The RBA is coming up on Tuesday. They're actually meeting 2 days. They meet today and Tuesday these days. But we'll get the result tomorrow afternoon, as we always do at 2:30. And we're not expecting any change in that cash rate. So the cash rate's sitting at 4.35%. the focal point will be whether they're still relatively hawkish. You know, last meeting, they still gave that hint that there's a risk that interest rates could go up, even though they expect that they'll be in a position perhaps to bring interest rates down late this year. A lot has to go right for that to happen. And in the near term, there's still this risk that interest rates could go up. I don't see much change to that talk, because increasingly the biggest problem, it's two problems that are going to face, that the RBA is going to face through the course of this year. One is that wage growth simply isn't coming down in response to the softening we've seen so far running through the labour market. Now, that could be that the labour market is still basically very tight, even though we've had a bit of a lift in the unemployment rate. Just about every indicator in the labour force is stronger, a lot stronger than where it was going into the COVID pandemic. It's just that we had such a really tight labour market in the wake of taking out some of the restrictions relating to COVID. And even though we've had some softening in the labour market, basically we're still with tight conditions. But the second factor is the cheer squad for higher wages. And this has largely come from government. They've said all along, we were promising that you're going to get real wage increases. And they've been promoting it actively for lower paid workers. So you've seen the minimum wage cases, which have been reflected largely inflation at its peak. And for certain special categories of workers, they push for very high wage increases. We've heard the latest one from Fair Work Australia. This is the second one going to aged care workers, and another very, very large wage increase going through there. There's a very large wage increase for similar reasons that went through for preschool teachers. But other areas where there's been bargaining power, and Labor's actually given more bargaining power to the unions so far, are pushing for something similar to the wage increases for these special areas. So the one that got it was obviously on the ports, where they got a very large 25% over 3-year wage increase. And the one that's got their pay claim in at the moment is electrical trades unions, who are looking for a similar sort of pay increase running through. So if anything, wage growth, rather than topping out with the weakening of the labour market, is still growing fast, and this is a real issue, a growing one for the RBA. It also adds to the risks that aggregate demand growth in Australia will start to bounce as we get into the later part of this year on the back of real wage growth. Also, no further interest rate increases, so things aren't changing there, so they're not getting worse there. And, of course, we've got the tax cuts coming through and an easier budget position from the middle of the year. So all of that means that the RBA is still going to be pretty cautious about when it would have to have some exceptionally good news on how inflation's coming down, and it doesn't look like it's going to get that to bring interest rates down anytime soon. So expect to see that comparatively hawkish. Incidentally, expect to see that with many of the other central banks who are reporting this week. Amongst them, we've got people like Bank of England, where if anything, they've got an even bigger problem with wage growth still running strongly. And so their base rate at 5.25%, they're likely to keep that when they meet on Thursday. We've got the Swiss National Bank, who are going to be holding their interest rate structure when they meet this week. And another one which is going to gather a lot of attention is the Bank of Japan, where they've had their official rate, the last central bank with a negative official interest rate, minus 0.1%. That's expected to move to zero this week. So they will actually be lifting or hiking by 10 basis points. Even though the Japanese economy has been very, very soft, they have got inflation back, and now it's almost too much of a good thing. And so they will be looking to take away the extreme monetary accommodation that they've had in place. In fact, the only central bank meeting this week I can think of that might be lowering interest rates is the Brazilian central bank, and well, their cash rates are 11.25%. So, you know, they're expected to lower their rate to 10.75%. But, you know, that, obviously, that's a way higher interest rate structure than we have in most other places. Very briefly, just touching on Europe, you know, some of the other figures coming out. Last week, we had industrial production for the month of January. That was pretty soft. It was down by 3.2% month on month. Admittedly, it did rise 1.8% the month before. This week, we have some purchasing managers' indices coming out of Europe. They're still comparatively soft. We're expecting the manufacturing PMI on Thursday to come out at 47. It was 46.5 the month before. Services sector PMI probably lifting a bit to 50.5 from 50.2. Also one to watch, on Tuesday, they've got Q4 wage growth. You know, I mentioned here that, you know, we're problematic with wages growing above 4%. Wage growth in Europe is 5.3%, and it probably won't be any less than that when that comes out on Tuesday. And that's one of the key factors why even the ECB, when they're looking at a very soft economy, they're still stuck between a rock and a hard place and can't get interest rates down because there's still this potential pressure point for inflation. So, you know, this is the story, I think, which will be developing as we go through the course of this week. The market's been getting pretty cautious going into this week, more about the Fed and what it might say. You know, it's going to push further into the future when the Fed can probably bring interest rates down. If it can bring interest rates down, it's still quite some way off. And the market's beginning to adjust to that. It's just taking some of the steam out of the rallies that are related to, you know, an economy like the US, which is actually trapping a lot better than would have been expected through the first part of this year. So it's got the makings of a lot of volatility running through all of this, because expectations are actually shifting in many markets at the moment.